You got it, man. And tonight, again, it's just some key points from Sunday's message and from the Thursday that preceded it.
Amen.
All right. And we're going to start. The first key point was when Eve's eyes were open, and what happened in the depths of that, and
Yes.
the depths of what took place at that moment when her eyes saw that the tree was good for food. So we're looking at the book of Genesis, and again, this is in our series on peace that's dealing with the marrow transformation that we're undergoing, and we're being reversed back into the original state of being that we came out from. Remember,
Amen.
we first were blood related to God before we were blood related to our earthly parents and earthly kin. We were God's blood relation, and so he's bringing us back to that so that all of the attributes can flow authentically and freely. All of his person can flow through us. And if that doesn't describe the highest level of peace, I really don't know what else can. Because if you are flowing just like him, that means you are holy as he is holy. There is no greater level of peace than that.
Amen.
And so that's where he's bringing us. And so here we go. A couple of key points here. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 6, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now, when I used to read this here, I looked at it as to say, okay, wow, she's gaining wisdom. She's gaining the insight of what is good. I thought there was like a good and bad effect here. I really thought there was the goodness of God was here, and then the knowledge of Satan would come as a result of eating the tree. But in essence, what happened was she saw, and we've been learning that it's through our acknowledging God
Yes.
that we're undergoing the marrow transplant and getting back to our original state of being because of the acknowledging. And so when she saw, she in essence regarded, the word saw means regarded, remember, and had experienced. The word acknowledge in the book of Proverbs, where it says, "Acknowledge him in all thy ways," the word acknowledge actually translates, which we know, kinsfolk, we found out. So she became blood, or we become blood related through acknowledging. I even was talking to Sister Erica on yesterday, and she was we were just talking, and she was saying how much the girls are praying and this and that, and the children are there are some praying girls. And I said, "Listen, the Bible says that if you raise up a servant from a child, he will become your son at the length."
Ask
And
God.
the Bible declares that. And so the attributes of the servant while he's being raised, they become your attributes at the length. They
Amen.
become yours. They become, the Bible declares that you're not a foster mom. The Bible says they're yours. They
Amen.
become your son, your daughter at the length. It's because that what's going in them is coming now. You're changing their marrow.
Amen.
You're changing their, they're doing what they see and know you do. And that's
Yes.
becoming, it's not head knowledge. That's in their DNA now.
Amen.
And that to me is so powerful. So
Yes.
when Eve saw, she began, she acknowledged, she regarded. That tree was there, and I don't know how old Eve was at the time, but that tree was in the midst of the garden from the beginning. And she never regarded the tree because it was not of her father. It wasn't something that her father ever introduced her to. She never, he only let her know, don't ever touch it. The day you
That's
do,
so
you're going to surely die. He never discussed that was a tree that was obsolete.
Yes.
Every other tree she was familiar with until Satan came along and changed her DNA, gave her a marrow transplant with causing her to acknowledge that tree. Now, medical science, I've said this before, medical science says to us that, geez, if I eat a jelly donut, it will literally change my DNA.
Hmm.
It will, that jelly donut will now be passed on, and that habit of or that desire to have it will start to pass on from to my kinsfolk.
Yeah, and it's truth too.
You see, and so the bottom line is, the importance here is, Satan is always going to try to make us regard what is not the will of God for our lives. He is fighting tooth and nail to make sure that we continue to flow authentically in his character.
Mm-hmm.
But God is saying, no, I've got something else in mind for you.
Yes.
And we can tell, I just got on the phone with Elder Donna and had a conversation. And in the conversation, at the end of it, the Lord wanted her to know, just simply, listen, the fact that you realize something was off within you tells you that the blood cells of your father are beginning to dominate.
Bless God.
We can make mistakes, but my God, when we get up, the blood cells of our father, the life of our father says, no, that was not the way it was supposed to go down. It should have never happened that way. And we start to seek him.
Yeah.
That tells you we're under the transplant.
Amen.
All right. So Eve became aware. So she acknowledged. And so she has the demonic transplant that took place. She saw. The word saw does mean regarded. It means she gained a new experience outside of God. So when she acknowledged what Satan was saying, there was a demonic marrow transplant. All right. The actual transplant is a very easy process. It's a needle that goes to the hollow of your thigh or your hip. And they start to shoot there because that's where most of the marrow is stored. It's a large, large area where marrow is stored. And so they attack that area first, and then it begins to grow. And I'm going to show you the procedure a little bit more tonight. So that's what happened to her.
Amen.
And unfortunately, unfortunately, she did not have the atoning blood of Jesus available. Oh, boy. But we've got the atoning blood of Jesus.
Amen, amen. Amen.
That praise was not God. Available unto her. So what was spreading in her was not going to stop spreading until the atoning blood of Jesus would come.
Yes. Amen.
That's why we're blessed. We have the best donor in history.
Yes.
He's got 100% in his cases.
Amen.
All right. Now, listen, it goes, it directly associates, is another key point. It directly associated that transplant or that uprooting or that, yeah, that demonic transplant was directly associated with what Satan would tie together and associate it with money or substance. And that would be the root of how he does the world's transplants and continues to etch in there with his marrow or his character, his DNA. And it comes through money. It comes through substance. Verse 16 and 17 pick up. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely. Thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, what she saw in the goodness of the tree, she first saw that it was prosperous. She saw that it was rich or valuable in estimation. Right? So now she saw a different value on substance, but that did not belong to her. It was not hers. That's why, my gosh, we've got to get a revelation. The tithe belongs to the Lord. The first fruit belongs to the Lord. Substance belongs to the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
All right. It belongs to the Lord. It is the Lord's. It is holy unto him. That tree was, as I stated before, was like Jericho. Don't touch anything to do with that thing. Leave it alone. But when, I believe, was Achan touched the substance in Jericho? Was it Achan?
Yes.
He stole the substance. He stole from the substance of Jericho. And we see what happened to him and his household. And that is how the enemy uses or continues to give us, even Christians, after we're treated, he comes immediately to try to retreat us back into his way.
Yes, he does.
He comes immediately. The Lord has got a needle right now sticking you. But when the Lord is done, the enemy comes. The Bible says in Mark 4, immediately for those that are on the road of progress. And he's going to try to retransplant his marrow back in. And the way that his is becoming successful, I'm telling you, he saw it work with Eve and Adam. He saw it work. He does it through substance. She saw that the tree was prosperous. And every time we view our money as being our source or our prosperity, his transplant is outdoing the true transplant of God. And I'm telling you the straight up and down truth. The love of money is the root of all evil. That is the strength of all evil. So when we don't honor God and we can't release unto God, it's giving the transplant or the marrow, the success of Satan's marrow transplant, it gives it so much strength because there's such an attachment that we have, even if it's underlined. It's not just this love and affection for money or vanity. No. It's when we don't trust God with his substance.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We don't trust him. So we don't have an open mind or heart to release it. So the enemy's characteristics are still embedded there. We're not doing the aftercare, which we learned about. All right. So she saw that the tree was prosperous. But what really opened up was it was prosperous in terms of her sensuous nature. Her man, her intellect opened up, and she was never supposed to have her own intellect concerning that tree. It was God's opinion and only God's that mattered. So the good that came was actually evil. There are some things we do in life that we think are good, feels good to us. But it's not good. It's actually evil. Her wanting that tree, seeing that it was good for food, seeing it was prosperous, seeing it was value in estimation, seeing that it was rich and succulent or what have you, that was not good for her. So the good that came about was only in the intellect of man, which is evil. The tree was really the knowledge of evil and evil. Because the only thing that came alive after she did that was her intellect.
Yes.
And the only intellect she knew was God's. And the intellect of man, the Bible says here, here's what the Bible says about our intellect. It says that the righteousness, our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. So what we think is right outside of God is filth.
Amen.
There's nothing good about it. We think we're doing right by our families, doing right by our businesses or what have you, and building our brands and doing better. We think we're doing right, but it's really filthy. It's really not if it's done by the intellect of man. So now what came alive in her as a result of the transplant was Satan basically turned on his nature, because you see, he had the same thought. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will exalt myself above him. And his intellect kicked in. So now that he had control over a whole new intellect, and that's what came alive in Eve. Now, the word evil, it tells you right there, it is bad of value. This is the results of walking in your own intellect. It's bad of value. It creates adversity, affliction, calamity, displeasures, and distress. All right. So what is my point? What am I saying? All right. So what, when we're allowing, when we don't honor with our substance and we don't let go, we leave the door wide open for this continuous process. Oh, for this continuous process. And I heard this scripture just come to me. That is the ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge.
Mm.
You're in the word, you're ever learning, but you're never coming to the knowledge. And you get caught up in the ever learning side of things, but you really never came into the knowledge. You really never gained experience from the marrow transplant of God by doing the aftercare. And we learned that doing the aftercare, that giving our substance is a major part of doing the aftercare.
Yes,
that after we after we hear the word, we should be honoring God, open to whatever God wants to take or wants us to lay down at his altar, whether it's inward or outward, whether it's something on the inside of you that God says, okay, lay this down. Let go of that. Let go of this. Mm-hmm. Or it might be mm-hmm. financial on the outside.
Yes.
Something you have that he would want you to give to someone else.
Bless God.
And that keeps you, man. That keeps his transplant in operation. All right?
So
it keeps our intellect alive as well as heightens our sensuous nature when we're not honoring the Lord. That's why in Proverbs 3 and 5, he did say it, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not. The first level, God took me to another height in fellowship with Elder Allison the other day. He said, my goodness, start with trust.
Yeah.
Start with just trust.
Yeah.
Some people just need to trust in the Lord. Trust him. Don't, with all your heart, don't lean to your own understanding. Just trust. And to me, when I think about trust, I think about I can let go of my own abilities, my own resource, and I can let it go. I can, what we used to call in the early stages of Rhema, I can free fall. I can lay back and free fall and know that God will catch me. That, like we used to do when we were kids. I could just fall back. I got you. And we would have to trust the person standing behind us. That to me describes trust. That as I release my substance, I can release it in a free fall and trust God. So man, you might not be in the position where you're acknowledging. Then build it by trust. Free fall.
Jesus.
And let God create this detachment from things and how he authentically changes you to flow in him and to flow just like him. All right. So this is where we belong. We belong in the place of trusting in him with all our hearts, not leaning to our own understandings. Forget that nonsense. Forget it. I love when I have a need and the Spirit of God will minister a seed. And I will just trust in him. I will just gladly sow whatever he says. I like that. I love that. Oh, because I know what he's saying to me. He's saying, listen, you don't have enough. But put it in my hands and watch what I do with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if we really look at the entire tree was cursed. There was nothing good about it. So the scripture holds true that a little leaven does leaven the whole lump. So I wanted to make that a key point to understand. All right, now don't continue in the pathway of not honoring God. Don't continue in the pathway where you continue to take of his substance. He wants to be preeminent in all things. He deserves it. He deserves your honor and respect and worship. And the reason why we give God, why is it about the substance? Why? Because what's coming inside of you, the marrow of God, becomes our substance. It becomes our strength. You are earning because of him. When you attach that truth to giving, the process of transplant fuses a lot better. It's a lot easier. The enemy doesn't have any more. The cells of our Lord are eating the cells of the enemy.
Amen.
You take away his leverage. All right. All right, let me show you this just real fast. Understanding the procedure, just real Let's fast. Go. All right. In medical science, a blood stem cell transplant, or which is noted as the same as bone marrow transplant, takes a donor's healthy blood forming cells and puts them into the patient's bloodstream, where they begin to grow and make healthy red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelets. See, we can't just overstep this here. They begin to grow. They're not automatically, it doesn't automatically happen. They begin to grow. They are fruitful by the time they land in your blood, just like the word. It makes you fruitful. It becometh unfruitful when you allow the enemy to steal it. All right, but it begins to grow, and over time, the process of time, what takes place is the healthy blood cells will outdo the unhealthy blood cells.
Amen.
It's going to outdo it. So what am I saying? There are going to be moments. I'm sorry to tell you this, but this is true, believer. There are moments that the unhealthy blood cells that we were born with, because of sin, they will still try to rise up.
Mm-hmm.
But the healthy blood cells brings a reminder of what's right and what isn't right. And that's when you know you're in the midst of the transplant.
That's good.
So even the natural process speaks to us in the spiritual process that, yes, there are going to be times that this takes place. This happens. But if you're in a place where you know you're off, you need to praise God and rejoice, because if you only had unhealthy cells, you would not know your mistake. You will not know where you faulted. Praise God.
Amen.
Bless God.
All right. And the procedure itself takes time, right? It's the procedure prior to the procedure. There's a lot that goes on, and there are five stages here. The first stage is tests and examinations to assess your general level of health. This all takes place prior to the procedure. Second is harvesting. The process of collecting the stem cells to be used in the transplant, either from you or a donor. You can have it from yourself, which I believe means something anonymous or something like that. It's an anonymous procedure. That's the name of when it comes from you. But then there's a donor procedure where a donor gives it. Well, obviously, we're getting ours from the donor, which is Christ. And so there's a harvesting right there. And I believe that the harvesting for us is where the Rhema word is coming. We're harvesting his cells. Every time we're in the rainbow, we're harvesting more and more cells. I'm speaking spiritually. In the natural, they have to literally find the cells that are a match for you. Well, the good thing for us is Christ is a match for all of us. Hallelujah. Amen. He's a perfect match for one of us.
Amen.
And so every time we're under the rainbow, and every time you're being quickened, every time that you've been, oh my goodness, you've harvested some of the cells of your donor, and they're growing and they're multiplying in you, and they're going to completely outdo what was in you physically, mentally, spiritually. It's going to have an effect on your life, even financially. It's going to touch you in every way.
That's God.
Right? And then there's conditioning. There's treatment that prepares. And the Bible talks about us being treated. And this is all off the top of all hot off the press here. Listen, treatment for prepare to prepare your body for transplant. That's why we stay in the word and we get new skins.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible declares we get new skins. You don't put new wine in old skin. So every time we're harvesting, every so often he changes our skin. That's conditioning us. Transplanting the stem cells is the fourth. That's the actual procedure, the needle to the hollow.
Uh-huh.
And then the fifth stage is what we've already talked about. It's the aftercare. You'll need to stay in the hospital for at least 3 weeks until the transplant starts to take effect. My point in showing you this is to let you know, child of God, don't be discouraged if your old nature rises from here to there. Don't worry about it. As long as your new nature is pointing out what your old nature is trying to do or did
Bless
do.
Bless God.
You're in recovery, praise God. You let the enemy know, I'm in recovery. I understand what you're still trying to prove and what you're still trying to say that I am. But I know that there has been a procedure done. I'm in my recovery stage.
Amen. Bless God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory be to God. We touch that place of recovery. And that's that aftercare. And the enemies always try to mess up our recovery. But we've got to stay in the rhema word of God.
Yes.
So that we can come into a full recovery. Further science we learned says the first 100 days are very critical. Very critical. Jesus.
They're
very critical for the fusing of the transplant. Gathering fragments that remain, staying in it, is a part of our recovery. Honoring the Lord with our substance, oh, I can't stress it enough, is such a strong part of our recovery. Because the enemy's coming. The Bible says he comes immediately when the word is sown.
Mm-hmm.
Mark 4. Right when your transplant takes place, he's coming. And all the way through your recovery until you become literally converted. How do you know when you're converted? When you say what Jesus said, Satan, what are you even trying to do? There's nothing in me in which you can draw from.
Bless God.
I'm 100% my father. I was praying to the Lord today, telling him how badly I want that. How badly I want all of his being to flow in me and through my life. I understand the procedure.
Jesus.
But I want El Shaddai as my doctor, the God that speeds the time. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And here we see it. We see it right here with Peter again. We look at the same story we looked at on a week ago today. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. I love that. You have become a piece of me. You listen, that one rhema right there started your transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You are Peter, which means Petra, means a piece of the rock. You have become a part of me. Because of that revelation, because of a rhema.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You have become a part. There has been the operation of God has already started in you. The procedure of the marrow transplant has already begun.
Bless God.
All right. So now, geez, that is quite a statement. He said to Peter, we kinsfolk. That rhema gave you some of my blood.
Yes, God.
All right, watch this here. He says here, he said, I say that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell, oh, that just tells me, the procedures of hell, the transplants of hell shall not prevail against it.
That's God.
What my Father has begun, he's faithful and just to finish. But watch this now. And this is this next few verses. This is for you to take heart and to take note, all right? That it's okay if your old man tries to rise. Don't let him. Don't get me wrong. Resist the devil and he shall flee. Do what you need to do. But if you do fall, know that the procedure is underway. Matthew 16, 21 through 23. From that time forth, now we pick right up here in verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. I love that. Remember that old revelation there? He put Peter behind him and dealt with Satan that was still trying to come through him.
Yeah.
He said, get thee behind Peter, get thee behind me, comma. Satan, thou art an offense unto me. So what Jesus knew, listen, the enemy still tries to rise in us, people. I'm just trying to help you here in the midst of it. Understand this. Yes, he still tries to rise, but the Lord is defending us. Why? Because we became kinsfolk because of the rhema word, the rhema that Jesus Christ is Lord. Started us in our transformation.
Bless God.
But Satan's still trying to hold on, just like he tried to wrestle over the body of Moses at the end of Moses' time. He felt that Moses was his. And that Moses' disobedience gave him full access. Now, you a liar. Michael came and fought and wrestled against him and prevailed.
Bless God.
He said, no, he's God's man. Sorry.
Amen.
Thou savors not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So every now and then, when those things that like Eve's intellect came into being, when your own intellect comes into being, watch how fast your big brother fights for you. Because he's been your donor.
Amen.
And he's going to rise up in you in the form of his blood cells. And he's going to remind you of the way of our Father, the way that our Father would do things. Yeah, we failed, but we have an advocate, man. Jesus Christ, the righteous, he rises up in you. The hope of glory rises up in you and begins to fight. Even when sickness tries to rack your body, I'm trying to tell you, the red blood cells, the platelets of the Lord, and the white blood cells are being released on your behalf to fight for you, both spiritually and physically and mentally. God is there in you, physically, tangibly in you, fighting for you.
Thank you.
Causing his attributes to rise up, to come alive, that you walk them out and you walk the way of your Father authentically. So I'm trying to encourage somebody tonight that if you've fallen, if there's a place where you fell off or there's a place that you just missed the mark, don't you worry about it. Get up and run back to the transplant, run back to the aftercare of it.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It was just a hiccup. Hallelujah. So Peter was first praised for the transplant he received, but then we then see that the procedure wasn't yet finished. Satan still had charge of his life in some areas. Some of Satan's cells were still dominant in the marrow of Peter. But Jesus gives answer to that too, and it helps us even with an understanding of a little bit more of the aftercare. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come up after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's the aftercare. How do I deny myself? Listen, I'm going to sit here and tell you right now. I am not telling you to sit there and deny yourself in a religious manner. Denying yourself of yourself is simply staying in the study.
Amen. Amen.
You can sit there and fight against your habits all you want to. Yes. If you do not deny yourself by way of the rhema, you're going to lose that fight. You might win for an evening, but I'm telling you, if you don't build yourself up in the Word of God and do the aftercare, those cells, those wretched, unhealthy cells will still be dominant in your body and in your life. The rhema word causes the increase of his cells, and it causes his cells to become dominant over all of your old nature. Remember, the cells have to grow.
Amen.
For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. How do I lose my life? I lose my life by diving into the rhema word, by acknowledging him.
Yes, God.
I lose my life.
Thank you, Lord.
And I gain his life.
Thank you.
But again, I say to you guys again, you have to remember, giving our substance. I'm trying to tell you, it is a recess place of the enemy to keep his marrow flowing. It is the oldest. It is the origin. It is the origin place. It is the origin place of the enemy. Because he started there when he opened her eyes and showed her prosperity not belonging to her. And she saw that it was good. Anytime your intellect is alive, anytime your sensuous nature is beckoning you, you need to get to your aftercare, which is this rainbow word. And you need to trust in the Lord. Don't hold back. Don't let the enemy cause you to hold back.
Yes, God.
I feel there's an anointing on the line even right now for some of you that maybe tap into this message later. There's an anointing right now to detach you from earthly things. There's an anointing here. There's a moment in time right now that you can make an exchange to say, you know what, Lord, all that I have,
hallelujah.
If this will uproot my old nature, the old marrow that was in me, controlling me, so be it. You're attacking Satan from his origin place. You're attacking him. He opened your eyes so that you could see that the bulk of increase is good for food. He's alive. He's a liar. Christ is good for food. He is the bread from heaven. He is meat. And his blood is drink indeed. Only one good is God.
Hallelujah.
The only one that holds value is God. Jesus.
Bless your name, Jesus.
So remember, we're not called also to live in this rhema by our memories. We're not called to live in rhema by our memories. We are called to live in this rhema from the marrow. The head knowledge of the Rhema won't bring permanent change. It is merely a transfusion, and transfusions don't last. They don't last at all. We want transplants.
Amen, God.
Praise be to God. All right, that's all I've got for you tonight. Just some key points to remember going forward. We're going to talk about the fire that is in our bones. We're going to get to that on, I believe, on Sunday. We're going to hear from Sister Javon first. She's going to share her case study. And I believe if time permits, I will teach you on the fire, which is fascinating, that the marrow of God is as fire in our bones.
Praise
It's a
God.
Consuming fire. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, now, if you have substance that you want to honor God with, you can. You guys know how to do it. Cash App, you look $ True Gospel Men's. Look for our logo, and you can send your seed of substance through that, your tithe, which is of your substance, and your first fruit, which is of your substance. You can also do that. You can zeal it through truegospelmens@aol.com. But just honor the Lord. Glory be to God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Just, yes, Lord. Just honor the Lord. I'm telling you now, it is the greatest way. Oh, la maha sila baba. It is the greatest way to keep yourself detached. You absolutely cut off Satan's marrow at the root. When God is the source and God, you honor him with all that you have. I'm telling you now, it is the greatest way to continue to grow in him. I'm going to tell you now, man, there's this pseudo lifestyle of Christianity. It's pseudo. And the reason why I say that is because we think we give God our best, but then when it comes to our substance, how fast and how sneaky our intellects go back into our old way. It's so powerful and so true. And yet we think, some of us think we're so close to God, but will not honor, will not give unto him. I'm telling you, man, the enemy, that's where he's lodged at right there. And that's what's stopping the permanent transformation. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's all I got for you tonight. Thank you guys for joining.